can give to the Lord that he didn't give to you? Everything else he has given to you. What's the one thing? Thanks. That's right. And that's why he listed at the top. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. Levi the publican, the tax collector, wrote this book. Our politicians today don't have anything on that crowd back then, amen. Government has always known how to tax. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Father, bless this holy word now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The word straightway means immediately. They did not falter. They did not wait. They did not consider. They did not think it through. He wants us. We're gone. And so they followed him. And so we have Peter and Andrew. And both of them, quite remarkably, according to tradition, were crucified. Andrew was crucified on a cross like this. Scotland, the flag of Scotland, has a blue field and it has a white cross like this on it. And if you've ever seen that, that's part of the British Union Jack, because it has three crosses on it. One representing that, one representing Ireland, and the other representing the dragon slayer of England. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 18, we find the apostle Peter, who's a fisherman, and he's called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when God calls people, he doesn't call them because they're qualified to do anything. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't qualify you because you're pretty, because you're gifted, because this or that, and so forth and so on. He called you because he called you. He will prepare you, and he will do for you what needs to be done to serve him the ministry. We forget that today, and we think today that we follow the same criteria the world does, and so therefore we look for what the world looks for. Has nothing to do with the service of God. The least expected are the ones that God uses the most, and sometimes it will amaze you. For example, Saul of Tarsus sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a well-known teacher in his day. He was a sage. He was a Ramban, as they would call them today. And he had those who he taught. And Saul of Tarsus sat at his feet. He was taught. He was educated in the scriptures. The Apostle Peter was a fisherman. He, I'm sure, had been raised under the word of God, as Timothy had been. But I'm sure, on top of that he had nowhere near the training that Saul of Tarsus had, and yet God called both of them, and they both became apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not much is said about Peter before he was called into the ministry at all, as far as historical background is concerned, but that's not what's important. What is important is that he was called. Many are called, and few are chosen. When God Almighty reaches out and calls you, he makes no mistakes. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He takes counsel of no man. He doesn't need your opinion. He doesn't check you out with some group and to see if they're going to approve of you or this or that. It's the call of God, and that's all that's needed. That needs to go out. And young men, young women need to hear that today if God's moving upon their heart to do something for the Lord. Yes, the call of God, and that's what's important. But the Apostle Peter was a different type person. In the book of Mark, chapter number 8, if you'd like to turn there with me this morning. The Apostle Peter was the kind of person who spoke spontaneously. He spoke about what he felt at the moment. He, a lot of times, didn't consider the consequences. He just simply spoke forth what was on his heart. God can use a man like that. He used the Apostle Peter, no question. In the book of Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 28, they said, and he said, ask him in verse 27, who do men say that I am? They said, John the Baptist, some say Elias, others one of the prophets. But he said, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And notice Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that day that they should tell no man of him. So where did this come from? It came from a direct revelation from God. I'm trying to build something with you this morning now. Follow along with me. The Apostle Peter had been communicated directly from the hand of the Lord. God had spoken to him and had said something to him. And of course it was true. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. No question about that, the Mashiach. But if you notice as this continues in Mark chapter number 8, if you'll look at verse number 29, but whom say ye? Peter said, the Christ. Verse 31, he began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days rise again, he spake that saying openly. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That took some arrogance, I might say. I mean, that took some he was forthright with it. He came forth. He spoke to him and said, hold on. This is not going to happen. I don't know what's got your mind messed up. We need a Messiah. God said, you're the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Mashiach. And so how in the world are you going to be our Messiah and die on a cross? Peter was in that time was not looking as deep into the spiritual things of God that he needed to look into. It took a little while. He got there, but it took a while for him to begin to understand the deep things of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to try to give you this morning. Most people operate on the simplicity, the simple things, the black and white things, the things that they can understand, that build their ego and their self-esteem because they feel like they've mastered the Bible. No man has ever mastered the Bible. I don't care how many degrees he has hanging from his name. No man has ever mastered that book. Why? Because it's alive. It's a living book. Amen. And it speaks to not only to the person, but to the generation that you're living in. And so here we have Peter rebuking him. And he rebuked him to his face. But verse 33, when he had turned about and looked on the disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. The word Satan is a Hebrew word, pure Hebrew, and it has a meaning, and that meaning is adversary. And so he says to Peter, get behind me, adversary. You're against me. You may mean well, but you don't have any idea what you're talking about. Just because they come to church and carry a Bible and get up in the pulpit and preach and sing, just because they profess to be ministers of Christ, that does not mean they have a clue what they're talking about. Amen. Do you remember Job's counselors? Oh yes, they knew full well the reason Job was suffering. Oh, they had it all figured out. Yes, they had. Do you know why? Because they applied human wisdom to a spiritual battle that was taking place that was high above them, that they didn't have a clue what was really happening. Oh God, help us today. My friend, help us to remove our human wisdom, our experience from the hand of God, and let God do what God's going to do. Let him speak when he wants to speak. Let him do it the way he wants to do it. He may take your whole life. He may let you live 70 years. And he may take 2 months of that life or 2 weeks of that life and do something that's never been seen on the face of this earth before. A whole lifetime. Yet he uses 2 weeks out of that whole life to do something that men and women have never seen before. Boy, it's quiet in here. You mean God can do something like you better believe he can. And I say to you this morning, you may have spent your whole life and felt like God's never used you for anything. Get ready. He may use you in a way you never imagined in your lifetime. Amen. So it is with Peter. Peter was a zealot. In John chapter number 18 and verse number 10, he knew how to use a sword. John chapter number 18 and verse number 10, the scripture says over here that he cut off the ear of Malchus, John 18:10. Now he cut his ear off. He rose up with that sword and he removed his ear from his head. And you know the story. The Lord Jesus Christ reached down, took that ear, put it back to the head, and healed him right on the spot. He didn't come to destroy us, folks. If the Christ that you've had preached to you is a killer, you don't know him. If the Christ that you've had preached to you is one who, he's this race, he's that race, he's this denomination, he's an American. No, he's not an American. He's an Italian, he's not an Italian. Got nothing against Italians, God bless him. But he's not an Italian, he's not an American, he's not an African, he's not a Portuguese, he's not a Brazilian. What is he? He's God. And at the foot of that cross, it is as level as it can be. And the Holy Ghost is colorblind. Amen. Boy, do we ever build our monuments, don't we? Yes. Prophecy in the book of Mark, chapter number 14. The Lord Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And you're going to deny me. And Peter said, now hold on. Peter said, I'd give my life for you. Peter said, I'd die for you. Now, Peter was in the inner circle. To help you get a little understanding of what the man is that we're talking about this morning, I want to bring up three things for you about Peter so you can understand him a little bit better. In Mark chapter number 9, on top of the mountain of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John. These were the inner circle. These were the three men, Peter, James, and John. The Apostle John wrote the gospel, also the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. James, the brother of the Lord. Peter, here we are, Peter. Peter, the apostle. These three he brought closer and nearer and dearer to him than he did the others. He allowed them to go into places that he did not let the others. Not all 12 of them saw Moses and Elijah on top of that mountain of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John did. They were allowed a view into a spiritual thing that men just do not see. They were allowed to look into the process of time. They were allowed to look forward in time to the day that Christ would be glorified. Amen. And Peter was moved with it. Moved with it. Stick with me, folks. He was moved with it. And it did something to him. In the book of Luke chapter number 8, he was allowed to go into the room with Jairus, his daughter, who was lying dead. A little girl, a little teenage girl. And Peter was allowed to go in there and watch him take her by the hand. And they were mocking him and laughing at him. Oh, they laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. But the Lord Jesus said, I say unto thee, arise. And the Bible says, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. He is the resurrection and the life. All he has to do is speak. And has he ever spoken to you this morning? Arise. And that little girl came up. Peter saw that. Now he has not only seen Moses and Elijah from the past, now he has seen God raise a little girl from the dead. It must have done something to the soul of Peter. I mean, good night, how much can a man stand? How much can you contain? But he's not finished. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, he takes him to the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John are allowed to come into a dark place and watch the angels of God minister to the Son of God, because the Bible says that they came and ministered to him. They were allowed access to a battle that few people even have a clue rages. There's a spiritual battle raging over your soul right now. Did you know that? Yes, it is. It's raging. Where are you going when you leave here? The battle rages. The battle rages. And Peter was allowed to sense it, feel it, understand somewhat of it. Here we are now, a man who could look into the past and see Moses and Elijah, a man who could watch God raised a little girl from the dead. Now here's a man who is able to walk into the dark shadows of a warfare, a battle that rages that most people have no idea about. And Peter was there. He was in the midst of it. Three profound occasions in the life of the Apostle Peter. You say, is that important, preacher? It's very important. Because it has something to do with the man that I'm preaching to you about this morning. You see, the Lord Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Peter said, no, so you're wrong. I know you're the Lord. You're my Messiah. No way. I'll die for you. I'll die for you. You see, God's got to speak to the real you before he can really minister through you. And Peter didn't know yet who the real Peter was. Going to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, that's wonderful. But that didn't tell Peter who he really was. See what I mean? Oh no, that didn't do it. Didn't do the job. Watching that little girl raised from the dead, go, my friend, to see the power of God, that still did not tell Peter who he really was. And here we have. Here we have Gethsemane, olive press. That's what that means. You go in there and you're squeezed. You ever been in a place where you got squeezed? You ever been in a place you couldn't get out of? And it just seemed like the walls were coming in against you? You ever been in a place where you had no answers? You didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do? It wasn't getting any better? People come by and say, they're going to pray for you. That's good. Pray for me. I want you to pray. But still, the only one that can bring you through what you're in now is Almighty God. And he's a good God. Oh, he's a good God. Because you see, he'll let you know who you really are. The Lord said to Peter, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, I'm sure that Peter thought, well, that's good. A revival or something happening here. What's going on? And I'm sure the disciples thought into it. I thought, well, what's this? But they really didn't understand what the Lord meant when he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You see, there was going to come a day in the life of the Apostle Peter where raising the dead, standing on top of a mountain and going into that physical, spiritual struggle did not do for him what one thing did. So what was that, preacher? It's when he heard that cock crow. He heard that cock crow. He heard that cock crow. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. They had approached him and said, we know thou art one of his disciples. Your speech betrayeth you. Why, you've got that accent. You're from Galilee. You don't talk like we do here in Jerusalem. Peter said, I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. Who you talking about? He's beginning to learn something about himself. You ever been there? You see, a lot of people will say, well, that's the devil that did that to me. God may use the devil, sir, and he can use the devil any way he pleases. He used the devil on the Apostle Paul, the minister of Satan, to buffet me, sure. But he's still under the hand of God. You understand this morning that God Almighty is Almighty God. Nothing exists without him. He is in absolute control of everything there is. You understand that? All things are of him, by him, through him, and to him. Amen. He's not some tribal God sitting up here trying to figure out how to handle what's going. Oh, what a mess I've made of the earth. Oh, have you really? That's the kind of God you hear preached. He reacts. No, not the one I serve. He doesn't react to anything. Before the first heart ever beat, he knew how many would beat. He knew how many times they would all beat. He'd hear every one of them as they beat. And he knew every breath that every man had ever breathed on the face of this earth to the last one. That's you too and me too. He's allowed me so many years. I don't know how many more he'll give me. But I've learned this one thing for certain, if I know anything. I won't wake up tomorrow morning unless he lets me wake up tomorrow morning. So when I go to bed tonight, as I do, I say, Lord, my life's in your hands. I'm here, but I may not be here tomorrow. But that's okay. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's when the Apostle Peter went off into the woods and Christ was risen. And the angel said, go tell the apostles, go tell the disciples and Peter that he's alive. And they said, well, how are we going to find him? We don't know where he is. Well, he left us. He ran off alone. Last time I saw Peter, he was bawling his eyes out. How are you going to find him? You'll hear him. You'll hear him. Don't worry about it. You'll hear him. Like that bleating sheep, he left the 99 and went out to find the one. How'd he find it? He heard it. He heard it. Some of you are bleating right now. Bless your soul. You're crying out for help. And you're not around Christians that can help you. Pray that God leads you to some who can. Pray that God brings some mature Christians into your life that can give you direction and prayer and support and teach you the things that they've learned. He's not the only one that's been out there crying. Peter was out there weeping. Oh, was he ever weeping? God Almighty, I've forsaken you. I've turned on you. Oh, I thought I could stand. I don't know what happened to me. Peter, you're coming to grips with the Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ knew was Peter all along. Well, he's done with me. How can the Lord ever use somebody that denies him like that? Oh, he'll use you more now than he ever used you before. You see, Peter, I'm sure there's probably a little bit of pride begin to build in your life. A little bit of self-assuredness, you know, a little bit of, you'd accomplished so many things, and you begin to point to yourself instead of the one who gives you your very life. And it happens to us. We're just natural. We're just creatures. Happens to all of us. We all have a problem. But you see, the Lord has got to take away that old man. And he made Peter. He converted him. And when Peter came out of that field, he was ready to minister in a way that he had never ministered before. He was ready to go into places that he couldn't go into before. He was ready to help people that he could never have helped before. Now, the real Peter, not the real, let's put it that way, he's always been real, but the Peter that Peter didn't know he was, he had discovered something about himself. He realized he was weak. He realized his weaknesses. He realized his shortcomings. He realized his besetting sins. He realized that he had a problem. And it was the hand that reached into Peter, into the midst of all of that, and pulled him up out of it. You see, he pulled him out of the water one time. Lord, save me. But this time he reached into the spiritual world, and he pulled him out of it. And when he did, the Apostle Peter was ready from that moment on. He was ready from that moment. No boasting, no bragging. No, none of that. No. From that moment on, it was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the last thing Christ said to Peter? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, yea. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you really love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed them, Peter. Feed them. You know what he did? He wrote 2 books of the Bible. And you know what? I read them all the time. They're 2 of my favorites. They really are. I read 1 and 2 Peter. Did you know what he did in 1 and 2 Peter? For one thing, he talked about the dog and the sow. You read about them? The dog and the sow returned back to where they came from. Wait a minute, Peter. Didn't you do that? No, Peter didn't do that. What Peter did, he denied the Lord. He sinned. He turned against God. But oh, no. He didn't go back to anything. He just walked off, and he couldn't handle what had happened to him. And he was just about destroyed. And the Apostle Peter, when he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, talking about the dog and the sow, he said, they go back to what they were because that's what they still are, dogs and sows. That's a problem with the church. Oh, God help us that we quit preaching to try to, like I said Wednesday night, Band-Aid preaching. If you weren't here Wednesday night, I wish you'd get the tape and listen to what I was talking about, band-aid preaching. What's band-aid preaching? Band-aid preaching is taking care of the external problems that you have, the things that you see happened, the deeds that are done, but it never goes into the heart of why you did it. And until you get to the heart of why you did it, you're not going to get any help. It's just going to be from one place to the next. And most of the band-aid preaching is positive thinking. You're better than this. You can do better. You can do more. And just get your mind right. Just think the right. You ever heard that garbage? What's that going to do for you? That's junk. That's garbage. Let's go down there, Peter, and let's hear the cock crow. And when you hear that cock crow, now the cock crowing may be a different circumstance for all of us, different place, but it's still the same thing. It's the moment that we come face to face with God when we realize who we really are. And once you realize who you really are and you come out of it, you'll have a completely different attitude about what's valuable and what's not. It'll change your attitude toward people. It'll give you more compassion. It'll give you more love for them. You can suffer with them. You can weep with them that weep. You can laugh with them that laugh. It'll do something for your ministry. There are those out there that, for various reasons, come back off the mission field. Church folded up on them. Got messed up. And they're out of the ministry right now. I want to encourage you to hear me. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Let me tell you something. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. I don't know what you did, and I don't know what happened to you, but I know this. I know that the rest of your life can be greater than it ever was before, because God can use you in a ministry and in a way that you never knew about before. If you let him restore you, let him bring you back, let him put you where he wants you to be. How do you do that, preacher? Pray that God brings some Christian into your life. That's not a condemner. That's not a judgmental. Not a Pharisee. Not sitting up to point fingers. But one who'll take you and pour in the oil and the wine and put you up somewhere and say, if there's any more, I'll pet when I come by the next time. Find somebody. Somebody. God will bring somebody into your life that can help you. They'll help you. They'll help you. I want to help you this morning. You ever been where you want to quit? I remember a few years ago, I've got a big, beautiful toolbox. It sits this high. I was a professional mechanic at one time. Snap-on. The toolboxes are probably worth $2,000, I guess, or more. Who knows? I bought them 50 years ago. And I got so mad, I got angry, I got tired. I said, enough of this. And I walked out there and I looked at those toolboxes and I thought to myself, now right there, I got all the tools I need. I can make a living right there. Sure did, boy. Sure did. Now, when I started, they had points and condensers. You had to set the timing. tachometers and dwell meters. Any of y'all have any idea what I'm talking about? Stuff today is nothing like that when you go off to get your car worked on. But that's where I started. I started with a brass tacks, with what made it tick. The record come in there, and you'd be bringing a car in there, and they'd drop that car off. Service advisor come in there with a ticket and hand it to me and say, that thing won't run, get it running. Just like that. So you got to figure out why it won't run. All right, that's what I used to do. Enjoyed it. Never complained one time. Never did. Never had a motor talk back to me. I don't know how many brake jobs I did and never heard a chirp. No. I got so used to that thing doing exactly, it did exactly what I expected it to do. People, oh Lord have mercy, help us. Woo! Oh my. Oh. But God said, now son, I called you into the ministry, didn't I? Yes, sir. He said, now I know you're a mechanic. I know, I understand all that. And I know you can make a living. And no doubt, no question. That's back when I could. I can't do anything now. I can't walk across the floor. But he said, he said to me, I called you into the ministry, didn't I? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. Well, then you get on your knees and let me teach you and let me lead you and let me show you. and let me guide you into what the ministry is about. And he said, I will. Let me say this to you this morning. I never had a mentor. I never had anybody or school of that nature. I've been to school, many of them, but I never had anyone who came along and took me under their wing and said, now I'm going to teach you what it is to be in a ministry and what to do and this and that. Never had it. So what'd you do? I got on my knees. Got on my knees. Poured my soul out to God. I said, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. I failed many times. Came up short many times. Messed up many times. Lord, have mercy. Help us. Made wrong decisions many times. But in spite of all of it, God stuck with me and blessed me and brought me to where I am today. Does that help you to understand what I'm saying? He doesn't expect you to be perfect. Just be real. That's what the generation says. Be real. God knew I was real. And so he has blessed me. I pray that God uses this little message this morning to help somebody. Don't quit. Don't run off somewhere. I know you want to cry. I know you want to quit. I do. I've been there. But don't quit on him. God won't quit on you. And God will make something better out of you than ever was before. Yes, he will. The potter and the clay. Think of it. He doesn't throw the clay away. He remakes it. And this is the great thing about Peter. Peter could have never done what he did later in life until he had that experience with the cock and the crowing and the crying. Are you there today? Then rejoice, because God's got his hand on you and he's going to do something with you. Would you bow your head? Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time in your house. Thank you, Lord. I pray for somebody, for every soul in this house. I came in here to help people, Lord. You know that. I didn't come in here to stomp people down. Good night. I've had enough of that. I came in here to help people. I came in here to encourage them. I came in here, Lord, by the grace of God, to present you, Lord, as I know you, rightfully, before the people. Not as some God up there with a club waiting for them to mess up one time, beat them down. That's not what you are up there. That's not who you are. You're for us. If you be for us, then who can be against us? In your holy name I pray. Heads bowed, nobody looking. Anybody say, Preacher Lawson, pray for me because God spoke to me in that. Well, God bless you. Amen. God bless your soul. I'm going to pray again. I love to pray. Love to pray. Anybody else, I want to pray for you. God bless you. Hands up here. Father, in Jesus' name, now I pray for these dear folk. Don't know the need. I don't need to know it. I'm just a preacher. I don't need to know. I certainly don't need to know the special personal details that they may have between them and you. I don't need to know that. That's between them and you. But I pray for them this morning in Jesus' name. Glorify yourself now. Bless them and help them. Oh God, let the Holy Ghost move on their soul and for them to get help and know you're their friend. You're not their enemy. You're out to help them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this morning, brother.